You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
I am not going to interrupt you this time.
All right, as you take a swag.
A swag?
A swish? You need a swig. No, a swig. Taking a swig of my tea.
That is a swag
of my tea.
Okay, this is a confession.
Yeah.
All my metaphors? No, not even metaphors.
Slang? I don't know.
No, I don't know. It's all wrong.
Yeah.
It's all wrong.
Well, that's awesome.
I have some problems.
We're starting off really strong today on the podcast. Welcome to the newchurches.com podcast. I'm Daniel, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer, and
I am so sarcastic.
No, I am not sarcastic.
No, I'm pretending.
Okay, you are. I am very gracious. The Lord's working on me in these areas of my life.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, today we have a question from Steve Erickson, who is a bivocational church planner.
Hi, guys. My name is Steve Erickson, and I am a bivocational church planter with the Missionary Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. My question is, what do you see as the role of bivocational church planting currently and in the future, and what are some of the pros and cons of that? Also, I just wanted to say that one of the most meaningful and disturbing moments of my life was when Ed sat on my lap at CPLF back in August. Hopefully that won't happen again. Looking forward to seeing you guys next month and looking forward to hearing your answer. Thanks.
All right, so there are two things that you need to clear up in the air. Who is Steve Erickson?
He's a former friend of mine who is no longer allowed to come to the CPLF.
And what is CPLF?
Yeah, the CPLF. I'm glad I didn't think about sitting on anyone's lap. CPLF is the Church Planting Leadership Fellowship, and it's kind of a private group of denominational leaders, about 60 denominations and networks, either nationally or regional judicatories, who come, and networks as well, who come and kind of exchange ideas, peer learning, how to do better leadership. So Steve's involved in that, but Steve is also a church planter in the Minneapolis area. And so I deny any reference to, I don't even remember. I think he remembers it much more vividly than I do, it appears. That's probably I would
probably
as well.
Scarred him.
It probably
he's
scarred
probably,
him. That's what I'm going
PTSD
for.
PTSD from
exactly,
that.
Exactly. So, but wow. So it's bivocationalism. Okay. Now his question talks about in the future too.
Mm-hmm.
And we know his role. I mean, he's a leader in the Missionary Church, which by the way, the Missionary Church is the, when it comes to small denominations, they're a smaller denomination sort of in the Anabaptist tradition. Mm-hmm. Headquartered there in Indiana. They're the leading denomination in church planting on the small denominations. Okay. They actually had founded what's called the CMTC, Church Multiplication Training Center.
Yes, that's right.
Learning communities. I mean, these folks paved this little denomination in Indiana, paved the way for much of what we're even doing today at newchurches.com and our resources, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, so I think, you know, bivocational church planting, because we've done episodes on this before as well.
Yeah, we have. It's a popular concept.
It is, and people can download that. Mm-hmm. But his question specifically I'd like to address is the future.
Yeah.
Because I think in the future there's four reasons that bivocational church planting is going to take off. Number one is the financial resources available to denominations and networks. Just the reality is a necessity is going to drive us to that point, okay? But necessity is also opportunity. Scarcity brings clarity. Mm-hmm. We should be doing that anyway, mm-hmm. because bivocational church planting just makes sense as a missiological strategy. We don't see any outbreaks around the world of church planting movements that are led by full-time paid vocational clergy. So the finances are number one.
Yeah, and before we get to number two.
I got four, bro.
Okay, can I add it?
Sweet mother of pearl. You can't hold your list to the end. All right, good. No. I'll just hold on one. Good.
All right, well, based on that first question, I mean, we do have some younger planters who are listening to this and individuals thinking and considering about planting.
Yeah.
So because that's the future, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I think maybe prepare some pathways that are appropriate for that. You know, it's uncommon that schools are preparing young church planters to have a vocation outside of the ministry in addition to their ministry. And we've talked about this many times, lots of conversations with lots of schools. But to be fair to the schools, it's just not what they're wired to do. You know, to train plumbers who are planters just doesn't make sense to them. So I do think, though, if you could have a secondary skill, if you could have a skill that you could use, but leadership in and of itself can be a skill. You could be an effective leader, manager at a Home Depot, or I'm thinking of a couple of Lutheran planters who work down at a Home Depot in Austin. You could be a barista at Starbucks, you know, and there's benefits that are paid with some of those jobs too.
Yeah. I mean, or a coach or a consultant.
Yeah, I would just say be careful about jobs. Coach, I might say is okay, mm-hmm. but I'd be careful. That's an evening job and a weekend job.
Yeah.
So you want to be careful to have a job that aligns, kind of maybe counter aligns with the kind of jobs that ministry would be. Yeah. So there, I don't remember the other three things. You kind of threw me off track there. No, so number one is the financials. Number two is the missiological principle. One of the things that Nevius, a guy named John Nevius, was a famous missiologist. He cautioned and he created what's called the Nevius Plan. And the Nevius Plan became the missiological strategy of all the Korean the Presbyterian missionaries reaching Korea. And one of the, there were five things in his plan. We won't go through all of them. But one of them was to leave the indigenous, he didn't use this language, the indigenous worker was later, but to leave the indigenous leader in his job. Because otherwise he becomes a, and this is Nevius' language, a paid agent or a paid convert. And so what happens, so when you become a church planner, you know, he's up there in Minneapolis, you know, or anywhere really in Minnesota, when you become a paid church planner, people are like, well, you're here to reach me. But when you're working at Walmart, that's what you're paid to do. You're doing this because you love it. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that because I've planted churches funded and bivocational, but what I am saying is there's a missiological reason. And so again, bivocationalism isn't because you're out of money. It's sometimes because you're on a mission, yeah. and that's key. It's not because you're out of money. It's often because you're on a mission. The third thing is I think it gives you an opportunity to call other people to greater levels of leadership. Now, I'm not paid by my church. I'm a bivocational. I hate to say that because I think people are working at the post office all week mm-hmm. and then planning on the weekend because I can prepare my sermons on a plane trip in the evenings, whatever. But what I would say is I can stand up before my congregation and have stood up before my congregation and said, listen, I'm asking from you less than what I'm donating time-wise of myself. You know, I'm putting 10 to 12 hours a week into Grace Church. Mm-hmm. It's all I have. Could I ask you to put in 5 to 10? Yeah, so I think it enables me.
And you wouldn't
me,
have been able to ask?
Can't do
ask
that, that in the same way. Also, too, when it comes to like giving, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't benefit from the giving that people at church. Now, most bivocational pastors do, but there's a freedom in that.
Yeah.
There's a great freedom in that. Fourth and finally, it has to do with reproducibility. We're not going to reach North America with we're not going to buy our way into a church planting movement in North America. We're not going to buy our way into a church multiplication focus. So what happens is bivocationalisms allow us to deploy more people. If we see now in our lifetime, we saw the Vineyard explode out of Southern California, or Calvary Chapel explode also out of Southern California. Yeah. In both cases, it was with bivocational church planters who just didn't, they weren't told they could go to seminary and get jobs. They just went out under the power of the Holy Spirit to plant churches and reach people. And I thank God for so many people who haven't been reached because of the rapidity of multiplication that was there. Now, you and I are both believers in theological education, right?
Yes,
you worked hard to get your degree at Fuller. Mm-hmm. I both teach at seminaries and I have seminary degrees. Almost all of which I did and you did in place. Mm-hmm. And so we're for seminary degrees, but we're also for more increased church planting through bivocational church planting.
And what's so encouraging is that seminaries understand that too. They're really beginning to make a shift towards greater partnership with churches and greater flexibility in that you don't even need to move or relocate to get your seminary degree.
Yeah, and they're not doing that all, you know, voluntarily. Mm-hmm. Some are.
Yeah.
But they're, I mean, again, I think I was blessed by being in an academic community. You know, there's a place for that. But I do think the new reality is in some cases giving permission to seminaries, in some cases sort of forcing them to partner. I had a phone call, and we talked about this, with a seminary that says, how are we gonna partner with churches doing residencies and church planning? Well, we're going to see more of that, not less of that in years to come. We helped set up a partnership with Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, where I serve as a faculty member down in Christ Fellowship in Miami, mm-hmm. where now we have dozens of people going through a leadership track at Christ Fellowship in Miami, a multicultural gigachurch on mission in partnership with seminary, but also helping smaller churches around do the same. So I think now again, my first church I planted was bivocational. I blew insulation. I ran an insulation crew while planning a church, and I think that's a good thing. It's harder, though. I will tell you that you know, when the time comes, because I work hard to not interfere with my Lifeway Research job. So when Thursday night comes and I'm reviewing my message and it's 6 o'clock, and I try to do it after the kids go to bed, so it's 9 or 10 o'clock. There are times I wish I was doing this during the daytime. This is my full time job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you finishing off those four items.
Yeah, thanks for letting me. I appreciate that.
Of course. But you did mention another five items from Nevius. Now, what you know, as if you can elaborate a little bit more on that first one and maybe a few others, you had talked about when it was it a new convert when a new convert came to know Jesus, or were you talking about more the pastor, the first pastor in that indigenous culture?
What they would do is they would actually take the first person who becomes a convert and paid them to then go around and preach the gospel.
Okay,
which makes sense, but they ended up with a phrase. They ended up getting called rice Christians, okay. And they were called rice Christians because they were Christians for the rice.
Okay, because they were getting paid.
They were getting paid, yeah. Right? So it undermined the ministry. So Nevius comes up. It's what's called the Nevius plan. Anyone can find this just Googling. It'll be everywhere. And there were five things, okay? The first thing is where we're at, right? Christians should continue to live in their neighborhoods and pursue their occupations. Boom. And it says, being self-supporting and witnessing to their coworkers and neighbors. So that's the bivocational question.
Yes.
Others were missions should only develop programs, institutions the national church could support. Mm-hmm. National church should support their own pastors. Churches should be built in a native style. So these are less applicable, but intensive biblical and doctrinal instruction would be provided. They do this annually. And so one of the reasons that the church really exploded in Korea was because the world was divided up at a conference in 1910, and Presbyterians were given Korea to reach. So everyone had to go through the Korean mission. Everyone had to follow the Nevius plan at the Korean Presbyterian mission. And the end result was they created a more effective indigenous church that would bear fruit today. Now, later, Pentecostalism would become such an influence in Korea. But that's why, I'm not Korean, Daniel, but I think you would be.
Yeah.
A lot of Presbyterians in Korea.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, the church that I pastored at in Korea was Presbyterian. Yeah. I grew up Presbyterian, there we go.
Yep. And so Presbyterian and then Pentecostal is a later influence. Mm-hmm. But again, that Nevius plan created an indigenous church. It's not perfect, but in a way that beforehand we just hadn't seen an outbreak of growth in Korea until that time.
Yeah, right on. Well, to finish off this podcast, what kind of encouragement would you give the bivocational church planner that's listening right now? Because they are our heroes.
Yeah. And I think denominations, networks need to hold up bivocational church planners as a model. Mm-hmm. I think those that have, I talk about the Vineyard. John Wimber would see a church planner in 1982 and say, why don't you just go plant a church? And, you've got the Lord's hand on you. And they would just go and they didn't wait to ask for permission. And Methodists and Baptists did this back in the day in the 1795 to 1810.
There's your horse.
A multiplication movement.
There's your area.
Exactly.
Get going.
Go circuit rider. Go at it. So they gave people permission in a way that we don't today and we need to today. And so I know it's hard and it may not be a permanent state for you. It may mm-hmm. be. You may be planning a church ultimately to move into vocational ministry. But either way, go at it with all your heart. Go at it with the Lord's strength. Rely on others. You're going to rely more on others as a team, less the professional get it all done pastor, more part of a leadership team.
Mm-hmm. Right on. That's a good word. Well, thank you again for listening into the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. Please submit your questions at newchurches.com or by downloading the app, speakpipe.com/newchurches. And if you'd be so kind to leave a rating and review, if you haven't done so yet, like we did today, we'll be randomly choosing reviewers once in a while.
Only those who leave a 5.
Yes.
Because if we're going to take – that one guy said don't listen to the podcast.
But he gave us a 5.
But then he gave us a 5 and said it was funny. That's why I said don't listen to it. So we're looking for good reviews because we have emotional needs that need to be met.
Yeah,
thank you.
For sure. Thank you again.